This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Mike, before we get into our NFL Blitz coming up, we are live inside of the Kia Studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, big shout out to all of the guys over the weekend who were sending us pictures at various places enjoying a Hey Man Ale. Now, this brew, you can now get at a variety of places, and we'll actually put out a list so you guys know if it's in your part of town yet. But literally, there have been guys who have hit us up and said, listen, I want to get it. This is the bar or restaurant that I like to go to and have ended up making it happen. So if you've not had our Hey Man Ale, thanks to Oconee Brewing and also Taylor, our brewmaster, but it is to be canned here, as we said, around August 28th, and hopefully out in stores where you can get it. Limited stores, guys. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be everywhere, but it's going to be in limited stores as they get it canned more and more. But the fact of the matter is you're going to be able to get it before Labor Day. But, yeah, man, big shout-out to all the guys just taking pictures of menus and places that are carrying Hey Man Ale now and saying really enjoying the brew, Dukes and Bell.
Right. So, as you said, Carl, we'll have it for you in your favorite package store in cans. Hopefully by Labor Day that seems to be the date where everything's going to come together. But, yeah, it's everywhere now, man. We're over 50 bars and restaurants all around metro Atlanta, from as far north as Cartersville all the way down to Sea Island. So we do appreciate it, guys. Can't do it without you, but we do hope you enjoy our beer. Please drink responsibly. It's a manly man's beer, Oconee Brewing's Hey Man Ale.
All right, by the way, this is not a radio show.
It's a movement.
Let's get to the NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Now, we got to be honest, that's not our line. That somebody told us that. Yeah. Mike and I were so chuckled by it. And actually,
we said we're going to steal that.
We're going to take it. And so that's the deal. But, yeah, man, listen, and it is a movement with you. We want you to be a part of it. So next time we're out and about, hopefully we'll be able to have a lot more Hey Man Ale with us. Mm. Let's talk about what's going on in and around the National Football League. Just generally speaking, outside of the Falcons, which we'll get back to, which I thought was a poor outing against the Jets. Anybody impress you over the weekend that you saw, or any games?
You know, there's a couple of dudes, and we were talking about the first weekend. It's always, you know, a lot of mistakes, and people are going to overhype this guy or that guy. I thought Saquon Barkley, you know, in the Giants game, right off the jump, seeing what this guy can do. And then we'll talk about it because he tweaks his leg. I'll make that the first story. He leaves practice, and needless to say, New York media was freaking out over it. Coach Pat Shurmur says he didn't see what happened. He thinks he'll be all right. He thinks he's all right. We'll find out, says Art Stapleton of NorthJersey.com. Needless to say, there'd be a lot of people wigging out about what this guy means in the offense, because a lot of people are saying it could be Ezekiel Elliott-like and put the Giants right back in the playoffs.
Now, I didn't watch this game. I saw the highlights, and I had to do a double take because it is preseason. The Vikings scored 42 points.
In a preseason game.
In a preseason game. Now, you know, again, starters didn't play a whole lot, but that tells me one of two things. The Broncos' second and third teams are not that good, or the Vikings' second and third teams are really good. Either way, we think the Vikings are going to be a team to reckon with. I think the quarterback play will be better with Kirk Cousins. And remember, they get to an NFC Championship game last year with Keenum.
Without Dalvin Cook, who got injured early in the year. So imagine Dalvin Cook healthy, great receiving core, Thielen and Diggs, really good, good tight end, and an upgrade at the quarterback position, not to mention a knockout defense. So that's certainly a team I think we're looking at. So to your point, I think there's a little truth in, you know, scoring six touchdowns in preseason that these guys are that good.
Well, you want to feel good about something? There you go.
Right. Now, on the flip side, if you want to say, look, slow your roll, preseason means nothing. Falcons looked awful. Patriots looked worse. Patriots were terrible in their preseason game against the Redskins. So do take it with a grain of salt, but there is a lot of coachable things for the Falcons to work on this week.
All right, he's got a big mouth. It's no secret. But if you didn't know or didn't hear, the Jacksonville Jaguars have suspended cornerback Jalen Ramsey and defensive end Dante Fowler. Now, I got to say this. For all the hoopla about Fowler, he's done nothing. It seems like he's always hurt.
Well, he blew his knee out the first minicamp.
I get
he
it.
Attended,
yeah. And he's back for the first time. He's practicing. Dante Fowler was a very high pick that a lot of people thought was the right pick for Jacksonville. But here's the deal. If you missed this, it was a post-practice altercation, and the footage is out there. You guys seen it, by the way? Have you seen this footage?
Yeah, them going at it?
Yeah, it's not Ramsey and Fowler. It was Ramsey and another player, mm-hmm. and then Ramsey basically defends Fowler against the media and wants to go kill a media guy.
Yeah, he's challenging a member of the Jacksonville Media Corp.
So the team says, listen, both of you guys done for a week, and we'll see you guys in a little while. What do you make of Jalen Ramsey? He makes a lot of news.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of guys that come out of Florida State, and Derwin James is going to be that same kind of guy. You know, that's their style. You know, I mean, they're talking a lot of smack. They're backing up with a style of play. Xavier Rhodes got into it at practice. They told him he's going to have to cool his jets too. So that's just the way they're raised down there in Tallahassee, bro, to bring a little attitude. Jalen Ramsey is one of the best young defensive players in the league, though. He's backing it up on the field.
Yeah, the media was filming this incident between Fowler and another teammate. They were using profane language. And so, Yeah, and Jalen Ramsey's like, "Yo, man, stop filming that. Put your cameras away, man."
What do? You smack the camera out of the guy's hand and throw $5 at him like Sonny Corleone? But anyway, you want to see a little edge, don't you?
A little bit.
Well, Doug Marone's got it down there, doesn't he?
Yeah, we'll see how good they are. I thought they were really good last year. Here's the deal: as a corner, I love his swag.
Yeah.
I want my corners to have that kind of swag. And Jalen Ramsey actually is really good at his position, but it seems like he's always running his mouth. But if you can back it up, Mike is not bragging.
Right. Hey, guys, a couple of injury news. I gave you the story about Saquon Barkley leaving Giants practice with perhaps a tweak. Alshon Jeffrey may miss the first 6 weeks of the regular season, which would mean we would not see Alshon Jeffrey in the Eagles offense against the Falcons.
I'm with that.
Up in Philly. We don't want to wish injury on anyone.
No, I'm saying if they were without some of their players, I'm okay with that.
But in a lot of mock drafts, I'm picking up Alshon Jeffrey in round four. But anyway, Alshon Jeffrey banged up.
You might want to reconsider.
Yeah, well, another guy I really want to jump on is Sony Michel for Fantasy League, and he's also out for the rest of the preseason. Sony Michel, how about this? From the glory of Georgia's season this year, Nick Chubb, 15 yards on 11 carries? And now Sony, apparently on timeout until maybe the first week of the season for the Patriots.
Yeah, welcome to Cleveland.
Right.
I told Mike this.
I can't wait for Hard Knocks this week.
Well, I finally got around to seeing the first episode because I'm watching 8 million shows. And so I'm trying to finish them, actually. I've got between now and the first game of the season to try to finish all these shows. So finally we watched Hard Knocks. And the guys at the airport, if you've not seen it, week one is out there. And Chubb's waiting for his bag. And Kyle's like, "Oh, you play football?"
Meanwhile, Baker's being sashayed through the airport with three guys.
You know, Nick's waiting for his baggage. But yeah, man, listen, I don't know what Nick's going to be. I think Sony's fitting. He will fit perfectly into what the Patriots traditionally have done.
Right.
But I just want to see him on the field. You know, I want to see him on the field. Does Nick Chubb split time, by the way? Or is he going to be the guy? Is he going to be that 20-carry guy?
It sure sounds like Hugh Jackson likes Duke Johnson.
That's what I think, too.
Duke Johnson is what he is. You know, he's inconsistent. I don't know how much that's
Carlos Hyde's there?
Yeah, Carlos Hyde. But again, what's he got left in the tank? I'm thinking certainly it's going to be Nick Chubb's chance to go win that job. But he might be one of those guys you draft and stash. And you see him maybe come out. Also, the Browns have a tougher part of the second half of their schedule, like teams like us, where they might not be able to run the ball anyway. They'll be throwing it. So it's a guy you might want to just draft and stash if you're thinking about him fantasy-wise.
By the way, Chubb is standing there, and there's a guy on the phone.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the guy's like, "You play football? Where?
Georgia?
Oh, for the Browns? Now? Oh, congratulations." And then the guy gets back on the phone. He's on the phone the whole time.
Because he knew something was up because he saw a camera crew following Nick Chubb. But no, the other storylines with the Browns, Jarvis Landry said he'd welcome Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant, apparently they're going to kick the tires on that. You've also got the Coleman trade. Remember, he was traded to Buffalo while they were filming last week. And you've got the Callaway arrest. And then Callaway, they decided they would punish Callaway by keeping him in the entire game against the Giants in preseason.
Is that punishment? Is that punishment?
By the way, I will say this after watching Hard Knocks. I don't think Hugh Jackson is coaching the Browns by the time the Falcons play them in
Interesting.
November.
Interesting. Yeah, the statement was, "I was trying to make him play the whole game if we could," Jackson said of the rookie wide receiver. "I didn't want him to come out." So, but he played pretty well, I thought. I thought he played okay.
Hey, you just watch. Todd Haley's going to pull a Benedict Arnold on him.
You think so?
Well, the knives are out, man.
Todd doesn't like the way this ship's going.
It's going to be A2 Todd Haley?
You know, I think I will say this. I don't know if it's handled the way it did. I thought Hugh Jackson did it in a respectful way, but basically told them all to shut the blank up and do what you're told.
I know they had a tough week. If you didn't see, he lost his sister and he lost his mom in the stretch of a month. But I just don't see how a guy can continue to lose football games. And then when you see the camera, it exposes what you are. We saw Mike Smith really uncomfortable in Hard Knocks and trying to project this toughness for the 2014 Falcons that just wasn't there. And I think the same thing with Hugh Jackson. I think you see a guy trying to convince himself he should be head coach.
Interesting. We'll see where it goes. Yeah, Hard Knocks tomorrow. I think it's episode 2. It is Dukes and Bell. This is our NFL Blitz segment here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're new to the program, hi. Mike Khalil Mack still chilling. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, why is he chilling? Is he waiting for Aaron Donald to get his deal done? Raiders have come out and said, no. We're not waiting for Aaron Donald to get his deal done. We're going to take care of Khalil. Don't worry about it. Mm. If you're Khalil Mack, do you wait till Aaron Donald's deal is done?
I mean, apples to oranges, isn't it, though? I mean, just because what you think you're – I mean, Aaron Donald is better than Khalil Mack is.
He is.
I mean, Khalil Mack is a younger star in this league. Mm-hmm. This is his fourth year. But, you know, he's still – I mean – the Raiders' defense in general hasn't been up to snuff.
No, but here's the sell if you're Khalil Mack's agent, and I'm not. My guy affects the quarterback just as much as that guy.
Right.
He makes $13.8 million this year. Khalil Mack, if you're going to tell me he's that much better than, or Aaron Donald's that much better than Mack, and I do think he is, how much better? $2 million a year? Better?
I mean, you look at what Von Miller's making. You're not as good as Von Miller, are you, right?
No.
And Von Miller's contract is out of sequence now, you could argue, with some of the new linebacker deals.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But Khalil Mack, basically, and Donald, you know, those two guys are in limbo right now. And if I'm Donald, I'm doing the same thing I did last year. I'm not going to miss game checks, but I'm not playing in the preseason. You guys have completely disrespected me by paying all these other guys before me.
I'm with you there. So second year in a row, and he seemed to be able to plug in and do the job last year for the Rams. By the way, real quick, while I'm on the fantasy tip, and you and I have our draft coming up in about 2 weeks' time, Brandon Cooks, for all the money they're paying him, doesn't he become the first amongst equals of wide receivers on that team?
He should be.
Despite all the guys they've got, including Cooper Kupp and Robert Edwards, they got a bunch of guys, but Roberts, shouldn't he still be the guy, though?
No, I think he should be. I've said...
I mean, for what they're paying him, he should be the number one dude.
He should be, but I think the way that they drafted him, or at least the way they looked at him, is how they looked at Sammy Watkins. Take the top off the defense guy,
right,
to get behind safeties, and then you have Kupp. And Roberts, those guys working as they did. Now, here's the irony, Mike.
Robert Woods was the name I couldn't remember.
Robert Woods. They had a lot of big plays, though, last year with Woods. Robert Woods, I picked him up because I didn't have a choice.
Right.
And he made a lot of, you know, explosive plays, 25 yards or more down the field when you talk about making touchdowns and making big plays for them. So I don't know.
Hey, man. And if you are just tuning in, guys, you missed the beginning of the show. We started talking about the Falcons, and it's all part of the NFL Blitz. Just how awful they looked from start to finish. The first team with all the penalties. A lot of players also chirping, and coaches as well, about how the refs, and Carl and I touched on it, maybe a little bit over the top with calling this leading with the helmet, and hopefully they're going to walk some of that back by the regular season. Try to get guys into the practice of not using that style of play. But, boy, it was ugly to watch, certainly in the Falcons-Jets game.
That it was, guys. Our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by my friends at Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw. Remember, better selection, better service. Go see my friends at 1221 Auto Park Drive right there in beautiful Kennesaw. Hey, quick reminder, as we want to let you know, the morning show this Friday is going to be out from 6 to 10 at Racetrack in Douglasville. Bo, you guys been out there? Have you guys been out to that Douglasville location? I know they've been out and around town, and guys are coming out to see Freaky and Hugh in the morning, and you should too if you're in that area. Stop by off of Thornton Road for the Morning Rush live broadcast. Look out for the Peach Pass tent that'll be out there, and enter for your chance to win some cool prizes, guys. And you can stop by and receive a coupon for a free small coffee, that is, while supplies last. So that's going to be Friday at the Racetrack Store in Douglasville.
Right on. So I don't think Squid's meth operation went that far, Carl. I believe it was more on the north end of town.
Okay. No, Douglasville's that's big for that, but you just didn't go that area.
Didn't go that way?
We never went there for a morning show broadcast.
Bo's like, he's like Breaking Bad, if you guys don't know.
Yeah, that's how Bo, that's how he supplements his income by being a radio producer. That's kind of the cover, basically, for the IRS, the front. Anyway, it is Dukes and Bell. Thanks for hanging out with us. Speaking of loot, how about giving away some money, Holmes?
Let's do it.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
alive. It's alive. A-L-I-V-E.
Alive! It's alive! 72881. Sex alive. Guys, we've given away, what, $4,000 on our program alone.
You're a Frankenstein fan?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like young Frankenstein. More. Okay. Bigger fan, you know. Frau Buka. Right. Anyway, guys, alive goes to 72881. Where'd you get that brain? Oh, it's Abby someone. Abby who? Abby Normal. Alive goes to 72881, and good luck at our national signing bonus contest.
All right, man. Coming up, we're going to get back into some Falcon conversation, and after this first preseason game, we have some things we need to fix. That's across the board in every NFL team. Mm-hmm. For me, it was about the effort, and it just didn't show enough on Friday night. Now, Falcons roll back around, and this Friday night, it's the Chiefs coming into town. We'll talk more as the week goes on, but Patrick Mahomes, we'll see him, at least him, for a series or so. Mm. Pre-game at 5, 7 o'clock kick here on the station, but I think there are a lot of things that they have to clean up. The number one thing, and we're going to talk about this, is penalties.
Right.
The penalties were ridiculous on Friday night.
We had 10 for 71. We talked about, again, they're not just calling defensive players. It's about how you're running back. Let's say it's a crackback block. It's a wide receiver lowering his head for a running back, trying to clear an alley. They're calling this stuff all over the place. And as I said, hopefully there'll be a correction to this because people were frustrated. I was getting the text on Friday night once I watched the game on DVR. It does take the game out of rhythm. And as a fan, Carl, especially for older guys like us, you've been watching hard-hitting football for years, and now it's like, well, what the hell? How do you tackle these days?
It's tough. Guys that have to make a decision, too, in the moment. And we're talking about a split second.
Right.
Hey, coming up, we'll get into it. And one Falcon shined with 11 total tackles. That's probably a guy you didn't even expect to do that.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive!
I was impressed by him tonight. Is there things for him to clean up? There is, but I know those ones are correctable, and that's why we're so excited for him. But I really felt his energy tonight, amongst others.
He's talking about DeMonte KZ. It is Dukes and Bell. That's our head coach, Dan Quinn. DQ talking about KZ, who had 11 tackles in the first preseason game of the season. 9 solos. That's called balling out. But outside of that, you start to look at positives. And I had a few people hit me up on the Twitter, and they were like, Dukes, there were a couple of other positives. And I'm like, okay, so give me one. And Jaleesa says, I was impressed with Deidre Sanat. Can we get a refund on Duke Riley? I'm not going to go there. It's way too early yet. But, guys, the sample space we've seen from last year, and mm-hmm. we think there's going to be a big jump and an improvement this year. But I just didn't see that. No sugarcoating in this first preseason game. Now, maybe Duke Riley, turns it on and turns into everything we want him to be. But, Jaleesa, I was disappointed in the performance, but I'm not going to go there yet.
Yeah, here's the thing, and I think when we kind of get into the Duke Riley conversation, I brought this up earlier, we're spoiled because the 16 class was unbelievable. You get Debo. Deion Jones is a finalist for Rookie of the Year defensively. You got Keanu Neal. Devondre Campbell contributed. And even, Brian Poole comes in as an undrafted, free agent. So that's all guys that plugged in for Dan Quinn and Marquand Manuel, and it worked great. So we're expecting Duke Riley to be of that same, cut of that same cloth, and he just ain't. He's the same, kind of player like Debo, little undersized for linebacker, but that's supposed to make him speedier, sideline to sideline, able to drop back in coverage, Carl. And he got faked out of his jock a few times. He's also out of space, out of position. So that's got to get better. DeMonte KZ missed a couple tackles, but he made more than he missed. And
right.
he's a second-year player, fifth-rounder, and Quinn loves him. Remember Dave Archer told us last mm-hmm. week, saying here's a guy to watch out for in the dime and the nickel package, perhaps.
Remember, and Bo helped me here, KZ, wasn't he the defensive player of his conference 2 straight years in a row coming into the NFL? I mean, we didn't watch a whole lot of it because the kid played on the West Coast. Fact is, he's a playmaker, Mike. And playmakers make plays. That's what he's doing. All right, let's hear from Coach Quinn talking about cleaning up the penalties. We had way too many penalties in this game.
Penalties really set us back tonight. I thought we missed the mark in that area because sometimes you want to get into some good down and distance situations to get a real chance to look at the guys. To finish the game in double-digit penalties, I thought that was a real factor. We missed the mark big on that one.
So you clean that up, and all that is, guys, is that's attention to detail. We had our 4 questions leading into camp, and I think one of our last questions, Mike, had to do with Coach Quinn and this coaching staff, and from a coaching standpoint, did you believe in Coach Quinn in the sense that, and I don't want to misscrew it or take this the wrong way for anybody, because I do believe in Coach Quinn, but we talked about the essence of coaching a team to be more disciplined. And that was one of the things we talked about going into camp. We did not look disciplined in this game. I don't care if it was first, second, or third team, way too many penalties. So they got to get that stuff cleaned up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I said, it's an absolute just totally forgettable game. I do agree that I thought Deidre and Sanat certainly looked the part. And I think we already touched on KZ, but that's it. I mean, the offense had all the penalties. You got into no rhythm. You were looking at like what, second and 20, third and 22. You just had no shot for Matt and company. Got them off the field. That was it. Defensive starters did get the Jets off. That was a three and out. So there's some positives there. But as the game wound on, and it was Benkert, the quarterback out of Virginia, he throws a pick, 9 of 17 for 125. Schaub was in there for he actually was 9 for 9 for small dump-off passes, some checkdowns. But there was just no flow to any of it. So, I mean, chalk it up to preseason week one, flush it down the toilet after the coaches yell at the guys for about 2 or 3 days, Carl.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll get back to work against the Chiefs. And now Pat Mahomes comes in, who's continuing to make mistakes. But Andy Reid says they're all teachable moments for the Kansas City offense.
All right, let's hear from Matt Ryan talking about leadership. Of course, Ryan, what is it, three plays he saw? I think it was three plays,
yeah,
Mike, that first series?
I mean, four of you, I count the penalties, but yeah.
Here's Matt Ryan.
A lot of early in the preseason, it's about development. It's about bringing these guys along as fast as you can because, you know, the nature of this league right now with how it's structured, you're going to have a ton of young guys who are going to help you win games throughout the year. And so we're trying to get those guys up to speed as fast as possible.
So, you know, and that's he's absolutely right about that. That's why you see a lot of the rookies playing and guys that normally don't play is because you need snaps. You need guys to get that valued game experience. Last but not least, guys, talking about this game, Matt Ryan, his thoughts on the first drive, which, again, penalty set us back.
Disappointed mostly with the penalties. You know, that's kind of the thing that you don't love to see tonight. I mean, there's going to be some times where there's not great execution and some mistakes and those kind of things in your first game. But the penalties, especially pre-snap stuff, we can clean that up. So disappointed with that. But, you know, it's been fun to watch these young guys get in and showcase what they can do.
I mean, you saw Dan Quinn roll his eyes on the first play. You got two guys in basically motion at the same time. And you see Quinn go, oh, crap, here we go. So going backwards right off the jump, and it was all downhill from there.
That was, I think, by the way, in game with John Michaels and the broadcast crew of Dave Archer and Wes Drewham.
They'll have the call on Friday. Chiefs going to town. Get to check out my new seats, man. You're in the same section, right? Are you moving too? Wait a minute. No, you're slow rolling me on this. I didn't know you were moving your seat location.
Well, here's the deal. I haven't announced it simply because there are a lot of people in my section who recognized me last year. And then when bad things would happen, you'd get the, Deuce, what you think? And so I didn't want to make that announcement.
Right. Guess what? Carl's moving too.
I'm not saying where. Right, but I'm going to come visit my old section. How's that?
All right, now here's the deal. I basically bought tickets in the end zone because I thought there would be similar, Carl,
deal
to what I had. I thought I was going to get it at Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
Sightline's a little different because you added that luxury box, which pushes those seats back about 20 feet or 30 feet. So I just wasn't happy with the sightline. So I basically, for the same price, I'm up front row on the 20.
Nice.
In the 300 level. I'm in 342.
Okay.
I look at my phone, I can tell you. But anyway, that's where I'm going to be. So looking forward to checking out the new angle.
Wait a minute. He is not. So people are now – listen, Mike is a man of the people. This is ridiculous. He is not an elitist.
No, but I'm in I'm not field level. I'm not in the club section. I'm in the 300 level. And you don't even get to talk, Squid Billy. You're on the company dime. You get to sit there and eat the free hot dogs and pretzels with everybody and go get Wes Durham as Dr. Pepper.
Hold on. I'm not eating hot dogs, okay? That's left for the other media who make the line so long because they don't do anything the rest of the day. They can get there early.
Right.
I work the whole game. I stand up. Don't talk about what I do. I work hard.
So what new section are you in now that you're slow rolling? Because I had the same situation with our fans that listen to the station. They're yelling
listen,
at us.
I rolled in last year.
Carl, out of 115.
And I didn't have any idea. That people, you know, you go to these games, man, you're going to be a fan and connect with other Falcon fans.
Right.
But obviously, immediately, that happened. And so we had a great time. And I love that section. But, yeah, it's got a better deal.
Well, my beef was in 121, the section to our left.
Too many away folks.
Too many opposing fans. Yep. And that's probably why my voice is always banged up. I'm spending the whole game screaming at fans from the other team. Got a big guy in front of me, and he's always starting a ruckus, and I got to have his back. And I got Becky holding my arm. It's a contract year, no fights. So I'm excited, man. Looking forward. And I know a lot of people, and I do think, by the way, for guys who can't afford Falcon tickets, I know there's a lot of our listeners, and this is something we talked about when we moved to this new stadium and the personal seat license and all that. I got a feeling they're going to make that open house a thing every year to give people a chance to get in the stadium. There were so many folks. I talked to dozens of people that didn't have season tickets, that used to have tickets at the Georgia Dome.
It was their
first chance to be in Mercedes-Benz over the, you know, a couple weeks back.
I think the thing I was amazed about in talking about season tickets, you know, when they were building the stadium, running across and coming across people who, like, their parents or parents' parents had seats,
mm-hmm.
either at Old Fort right. County where there was no PSL, and then you moved into the dome, and some of these folks had 9-10 seats, right?
Right.
And you go, well, what are you doing? And they're going, we can only afford two. We can't get season tickets because that's all we used to pay. And you know, our family had 5 or 6 or 7 seats. It was really interesting. But, yeah, Mike, I hope the Falcons do. I hope they see mm-hmm. how beneficial that was for the community, for a lot of people to get into Mercedes-Benz. Now, we said this. You know, 3 or 4 years from now, maybe the buzz will have gone away. I don't know at what point that takes place. Last year, first year in the building, everybody was still, you know, mouths open and eyes wide open.
Right.
I don't know if that changes this year because it gets back to let's be in our seats and cheer for our squad.
And by the way, I got into it with a ton of Braves fans because I took some pictures in the second inning of a half-empty SunTrust Park. I had some decent seats on the first base side. And again, guys, we pay for our tickets. We don't owe anybody favors. We pay for our tickets so we can bellyache and moan about the product. That's why we do what we do. But it was kind of cool seeing some 92.9 The Game listeners at the ballpark. But people weren't really in their seats until the fourth inning. By that time, you missed a nice big rally. So I get it. The battery, just like all the new bells and whistles, Carl, at yep. Mercedes-Benz, yep. We're in a bar, and it's like, you know, it's 7:15. I'm closing out my tab. Time to go to the stadium. Guys, I mean, I had everyone tell me, oh, Taylor Swift concert. Okay, that's downtown. I got Braves fans going, it's Taylor Swift. Oh, there were high school scrimmages. Okay, that accounts for 4,000 people who didn't go to a Braves game. Why aren't you in your seats? Why aren't Falcon fans in their seats? When the players are coming through the big Falcon helmet and the fireworks are going off, you should be having your tuchus in the seat. So this isn't cherry picking on Braves fans. The only fans in this city who understand how to attend a sport event right now are Atlanta United fans because there's a real passion. And I'm sorry if that gets baseball fans ticked off, feel that they're challenged by soccer. Ooh, big bad soccer. Baseball's not going anywhere, but they are showing you how you should be a fan in this town. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, and I think, you know, the fan bases are different from a passion standpoint. But I'm not going to tell any Braves fans that they don't love the Braves as much as any United fan loves the United or Falcon fan loves the Falcons. But how we show that is what matters. And, you know, I've said this for a long time. Prior to me even coming to Atlanta, I always thought Miss Atlanta was, you know, cast-typed, you mm-hmm. know, from a sports town perspective. And I can say that because, again, my parents were from this state. I came here as a kid. I witnessed all the stuff that we always talk about. But the fact is, we got a great sports city, man. And everybody that talks all that crap around the country, they can continue to talk it. The fact is, United has put us on the map in a place, Mike, that we've never been mm-hmm. when it comes to fanfare and how people expect these games to be. And we've said it. Everybody wants to be like us when it comes to that. The Falcons, we had a great dome advantage.
Right.
What we want is a great Mercedes-Benz advantage. And we just didn't have that last year. But that's not to say we can't have it.
And that's the thing, because it was a shame. Carl just pointed out, we were just really getting things cooking at the Georgia Dome. I mean, we had it in 2012, that Seattle playoff game. You were here for that. It was still one of the loudest games I've ever been at. So we know we can put it together. And the Packers game last year when they opened the roof on Sunday Night Football, that was a great electric atmosphere. But, I mean, I know people don't like, and we get the text on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Same number you guys can use to call in at 404-741-0929. And I know you get it. I don't want you guys telling me how to be a fan. You do you. Call me crazy. I like to be in my seat when the ball's kicked off or the first pitch is thrown, you know, because I'm a sports fan. Now, I'm also, Carl, and you and I have talked about this. I'm in the minority. I don't need any of the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
You know, give me a seat for my big butt to fit in. Give me an ice cold brew and give me good football or baseball on the field. And I'm ready to go.
I think the product matters. It always has when it comes to being live at sports venues and games. But I will tell you, that attracts a lot of people, Mike. You know, now
but that's the new paradigm.
It is. And now, let's be honest. I mean, the home environment, your house, in many cases with HD and 4K, and you're chilling. That's hard to beat. So when you go to these games, you're like, the Falcons realize this. Rich McKay talked to us about it. We had to bring all these elements into play if we knew people were going to be enjoying the stadium, not just for the game, but for the whole, you know, hey, environment. And I'm, you know, collaborating with various people and checking out these different levels. That's what they wanted. But I hope it's better this year. Real quick, see what you've done? Gary, one of my boys. You leaving session 150? Yes, Gary. I'm leaving, Gary.
Now, the question is, where are you going? Because cost-wise, I'm basically paying the same as I was paying for the end zone, but now I can see the whole field. I'm happy. I'm a high man. I'm into blue-collar people, Carl. 300, working man section.
Coming up.
I think Carl's into club.
No comment. We will be talking to
AMG Dukes over here.
We will be talking to Roddy Navalzi about the Dogs. When we come back, though, Mike Conte's out. We got a crazy story for you.
Yeah, you guys, if you're like us and you listen to some of the recordings of the guy that stole the plane in Seattle, it's one of the craziest darn stories, and it was unbelievably captivating. We're going to dive into it next.
Got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike Conte out today. In for Mike is us. It's Mike Bell with In Case You Missed It. Crazy stories going on. Before we get to this, though, Mike, Duke Riley talking to our man D. Orlando Ledbetter. As we've been talking about Duke today, and a lot of people,
fans feel that he's got to get his act together quickly.
Yeah, I'm one of them. He says, I feel comfortable. The game was slowed down for me a lot. I put so much work into the offseason. I feel like I'm confident in myself. But he does talk about being better and putting stuff on tape. And he says, I've got to put better stuff on tape, which I will. At the end of the day, I'm not perfect. No one is. The game is not perfect. You're not going to go out there and win every snap or every play. I'm just focusing on what I can do to get better. So, obviously, he got the message.
Yeah, now he didn't put anything particularly good on tape. Then again, really, no one else did on Friday either, other than maybe Devontae KC. Yeah, it was ugly all the way around. But that's interesting. We'll actually have the audio for you a little bit later from the man himself talking to our buddy D-Led. Look, everyone loves Duke Riley's enthusiasm, his attitude. He's just got to put better results on the field. It's just what he said.
No doubt. Coming up at 5, it's the Falcon Report right now, in case you missed it.
All right, now, I don't know about you guys, but when you had heard the story about what happened out in Seattle, talking about a guy that worked at SeaTac, Seattle Tacoma International Airport, on the ground crew, named Richard Russell. His nickname is Bebo. And out of the blue, whether he planned it or not, he uses one of those little tractors that they use to pull the planes around and those little mini tow truck type deals, turns that sucker 180 degrees, taxis out on the runway and goes and flies all around Puget Sound. I thought it was kind of heartbreaking to hear some of the recording of him talking to the air traffic controller. And did this guy have a plan? Was he depressed? See, I'm just a guy with a screw loose. It was just surreal.
I got wind of this, obviously, you know, through social media. And then finally, I got a chance to see the story. And the footage is out there because there are people, various people recording this. Now, if you're unaware, this is an aircraft that probably could carry 90 folks, Mike. Maybe?
Yeah, it was one of those like regional jets, a Bombardier Q400 mm-hmm. turboprop. So that's not a small plane by any stretch.
No.
He's out there doing barrel rolls, and he's doing loop-de-loops. And some of the video you saw, Carl, was right by Chambers Bay where the U.S. Open was a couple years ago.
Well, people are screaming because, again, imagine you looking out of your window right now and seeing an aircraft doing these kinds of maneuvers. They didn't know passengers weren't on there. Nobody knew that. So you're thinking, what is going on? So you see the footage, and people are like, oh, my God. Mike, I have a question, though, before we get to the audio. He had to have planned this because how the hell did he know how to maneuver this plane?
Well, he said, according to talking to air traffic control, that he'd done a lot of those video game simulations or the computer simulations.
But he had never flown.
He had never actually flown a plane. He was able to take off. There was a pilot who was in a plane behind him because he comes. Obviously, it's not announced, and all of a sudden there's a plane on the taxiway. And apparently he smokes the tires on takeoff, but he gets it up in the air, knows how to retract the landing gear, and he's off and he's running. Anyway,
is that not scary?
It is, you know, because you hope now that every airport in America is going to double down and make sure that the guys they're working for ain't got a screw loose and have access to the plane, because this is wild. But anyway, here's the guy, kind of sad, because sounds like a really nice average Joe, Richard Bebo Russell, talking to ground control.
Roger, 2239, runway 16, strike, clear to land.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy. Got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
Squawk 4671.
If you go too much further in that direction, I won't be able to hear you anymore.
All right. Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip, you think?
Sure, man. So far off the right.
I'm going to land it, in a safe kind of manner. I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll, and if that goes good, I'll just go nose down and call it a night.
I mean, it's chilling, but it's also, it just, as I said, I listened to the whole 10 minutes. The Seattle Times, by the way, the newspaper out there in the Pacific Northwest, has got the entire conversation. There's some garbled communication, but basically, he's not talking to air traffic control. He's talking to the ground control, the guy that helps the planes where they go on the runway. So that's the frequency he was on. Mm. But the dude, he's only 29. And they found his body, obviously. He crashed into an island at the in the southern part of Puget Sound. It's kind of sad, though, isn't it? Because he seemed like a really nice guy. Everyone literally says, and this is kind of, how many times do we hear this? Nobody saw this coming. Last thing in the world anyone expected of all his friends and family members.
We try to pay attention as much as we can to our coworkers, to our friends, to our family. But nobody really knows what's going on with somebody. And, Mike, for me, I'm just thankful this guy didn't kill a lot of people.
Right.
Because, let's be honest, you know, he's up there, he's talking to people, and he's talking about, you know, these maneuvers.
Right.
But he could have easily been like, here's where I'm going. Now, there were jets in the air to shoot him down, okay? They had, once the Air Force got word of this, they sent two fighters from Portland.
Yep.
And they were there at the drop of a hat. So, I don't know if he would have been able to do something, but I think only because he's speaking to the grounds crew, the intent was known that he was kind of clowning around in this thing, and he didn't have evil intentions. But if he did, man, this could have been disastrous.
I mean, if he takes us to downtown Seattle or something, I mean, yeah, you could have got a real tragedy. But you're right, two F-15s, one was right on the wingtip, one's up high. And if you're playing golf and you're hanging out at the clubhouse at Chambers Bay, they see a commuter plane doing like loop-de-loops and barrel rolls. There come two F-15s. It's pretty wild.
It is. And it makes you think, for those of us who were alive and around, of 9/11.
Right.
Because there were, you know, again, once everybody was grounded, right, anybody that was still left in the air, they were being escorted.
Well, you know, my wife and I, because we love the Smithsonian Channel and all air disasters and all that stuff. I know she flies for work, so I don't know why she likes that stuff so much. But don't forget now, you're not always going to make sure the pilots got their head on straight, too. You know, but there's another thing you got to worry about nowadays. Yikes.
Yeah, Mike, but I will tell you, I think there's always been, it's Dukes and Bell, by the way. This is our In Case You Missed It segment.
Talking about the Seattle airplane theft and that crazy scenario that played out, because it was kind of like Squid Billy and I were talking over the weekend. You and I were talking about it. And Bo, you listen to the audio, too, right?
Yeah, I woke up yesterday morning almost as late to church because I wanted to hear the entire thing. And it's just crazy.
It is chilling. But I was going to say, I think depression, anxiety, all of these factors that we're now more aware of have always been there.
Right.
They have. I mean, if you think that you've been on a plane where a pilot hasn't had some of these tendencies, I'm not going to say they were, you know, diagnosed with anything, but you're just flat out wrong. It's like us believing that every pilot is sober. Mike, right. It doesn't happen. There have been pilots who have been drinkers their entire lives who get on these planes, and we trust them with our lives. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we're more aware and there are more steps and procedures in place. But this stuff goes on. And, you know, speaking of air disasters, there was one in Europe where a guy has a passenger jet and they run it into a mountain.
Yeah, that was on air disasters, too. It was a regional jet.
He was ill.
Yeah, no one knew. German pilot. And they have different personal rules about how your doctor can't give that information out. They've since changed some of that. But, yeah, anyway, so not to bum you out, guys, but it is kind of it's both depressing, fascinating, and surreal if you had a chance to watch the video and listen to the actual communication between a young guy. And, crazy. There's now even more things for us to worry about. Security, Homeland Security, TSA, everybody's going to have to kind of double down on making sure all these guys know what they're doing down there.
And by the way, it was not a rogue guy who just rolled on to the runway. He worked at the airport, had been there 3 years, was a trusted employee who had done his job. And the videos are out of him talking about being a baggage handler. And he's like, I handle bags for a living.
You think that, I mean, he went up there with the intention to kill himself, or he started, and then once he got in, he's on one of the comments, he goes, I guess I go to jail for the rest of my life for this, huh? I don't know. If it was like a passive aggressive suicide or where this thing went, but that's some shrink will try to figure out.
Well, you just stole a jet. It is federal.
I
don't know if that would have been the situation, but he would have been in serious trouble.
But anyway, if you guys, especially for business travelers out there, or if you're just like Carl and I, we just love aviation stuff. It was pretty fascinating.
Coming up, we will talk about the dogs. Roddy Newballsy fills us in. Dogs had a big scrimmage over the weekend. What did Kirby think, and who shined? Find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.